together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. I'm your host, Brad Digney, and I've got my precious wife with me as we revisit and dig into all that God's Word tells us about love. Oh, this is something the world goes on and on about, and the Bible actually has a lot to say also and gives it to us on multiple levels. I love it that when the Bible begins to speak about this, it speaks on four different levels because the original Koine Greek had four different words for love. Eros, erotic sexual love. Storge, family love. Philia, friendship, brotherly love. And agape, God-like love. Well, Vicky, it's great to have you with me talking this through. Because we've experienced, have we not, the presence of each of these and the absence, mm-hmm. have we not?
Yes.
And it all matters, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we touched a little bit on Eros last week, and we want to begin, because we're going to come back to that in later shows and talk about the importance of and what the Bible says about sexual intimacy and that part of love. But all the other loves, support it. Hold it up, keep it alive. And when you don't have these other components, I see you nodding, Vicky, would agree.
Definitely.
It makes it really hard to keep Eros alive.
Right.
When Storge dies, family. Mm-hmm. When Philia doesn't exist,
friendship.
And when neither one understands agape, mm-hmm. I'm being loved by God, therefore I can love you unconditionally. But we're going to talk today about Storge. Storge love. What are your thoughts on that, Vicky? And how has that impacted our marriage, the presence or the lack thereof?
Well, I just think, first of all, in a broken, fallen world, it's harsh out there. I mean, reality is harsh.
Yes, and getting harsher, wouldn't you agree?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I just think darker and harsher and not as accepting and kind. So
yeah.
I just feel like our family should be a safe place where you can be real, not perfect, but we can just be who you really are. You can be accepted. You can be loved. But I think really, just like we've talked about in marriage, this kind of has to be taught. This isn't something, obviously, that just comes naturally.
Yeah.
So I do think it's interesting, like in Titus 2.
So the Eros love comes naturally.
I think more easily, right.
No one has to say, you should be feeling sexual desire for someone by now in your life.
Right.
But some of these others, philia, storge, mm-hmm. agape, they got to be leaned into and taught.
And I do think, like in Titus 2, it says, talking about older women teaching younger women, that they may train or encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, and then it goes on and on. But I think I just found that very interesting the first time.
So do you think someone can be taught to love their husband?
Hopefully that's what we're doing right here, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I'm
trying to give examples.
I'm poking.
Right.
Because I think so often in our culture, people think it's either there or it's not.
Right.
You can't teach me to love
my husband.
That
actually gives us hope, because if you don't have that, it's like, okay, this is something that you can actually have in your life.
You can grow into it.
You can grow into it, right.
Because you looked at me and said, I don't love you anymore.
Right.
And you meant it.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you say today?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Oh, go on, girl.
I'm all about you.
Oh, my goodness. Do you love me now?
Huh? I do love you, yes. Ooh. We're going to talk about it later in the show, too.
But in all seriousness, I just want you to know, if you're listening, that's what God did.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God did.
And we're so grateful.
Yeah. That it really was pretty dead. And today we love each other. But go ahead. Sorry, just had to.
Well, I think, too, it's a good place to bring in here when we're talking about just family love. And I think it's not just between our spouse, but also involves our children. And I think that's something that we really tried to cultivate.
Because after marriage, those are your closest human beings.
Right.
Created in the image of God that you're interacting with. And he's called us to love.
Mm-hmm. So I think family is just a great place to, you know, I think we try to have a family identity, like do your big knee best. And once again, you don't have to do what we
and
do.
And remind the listeners, how many kids do we have?
So we have 5 children.
Or
so
do we have? We still have them. They just don't live with us. Praise God.
Okay. Don't hurt their feelings.
I love them, but oh, it's great not having them live with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have Lauren, Harrison, Kelly, Garrett, and Sarah. So yeah. Those are our 5 children. But I really liked having a family identity just because that's where I just feel like in the home, major things are happening there. You know, where you're teaching your children how they learn to relate and interact in the home is going to affect how they relate to their spouse, how they relate to their boss, how they relate to their coworkers.
And I do wish more parents were mindful of, I appreciate you saying that, Vicky, because you brought that component. The home was designed to be a greenhouse. Mm-hmm. Where you teach them critical life. I think we tend to think, well, how to tie your shoes and organize your room and clean up and empty the dishwasher. All that's important. But oh my goodness, I don't think enough parents are thinking, teach them to love. Mm-hmm. What it looks like to love other people at close range. And you thought about that a lot and you did.
Well, I just think once again, and I just want to give you hope here. If you didn't have a home like this growing up, now you can set a new precedent. You can start new traditions. You can start new things that you're doing in your home that will bring about some of these
things. If you're
things.
Thinking, I was not taught to love. I had to figure that out on my own.
Because I think in the home,
you can start anew.
People are learning, how do I treat people that are different than me? How do I react when someone breaks my model airplane that I just built? Those are the kind of things that go on in the home. And I think like even in our home, I just remember reading something about all the different relations. So we had 5 children and 2 adults, you know, and Brad has a relationship with each of those 5. I have a relationship with each of those 5. Harrison has a relationship with each of the other 6. So, I mean,
plus us.
Yeah. So there's so many, like if you actually had a web and like did all the little connections, it's just like, no wonder there was such conflict.
If you read an article or a book about sociology and relationships, And you put it on the dry board, you would not be surprised by why it feels like there's a level of complexity, confusion, and chaos and conflict. That's a lot of lines of relationship.
And I want to give you hope as a mom. Like, obviously, if you're right in the smack in the middle of raising your children and, you know, things are difficult and there's fights and there's arguments and people are screaming, and I would just say at least attempt to address it.
Yeah.
Now, to be honest, sometimes with that many people in our home, I just pretended not to see. I know I probably shouldn't have done that.
And I
but
would
after
jump
a while,
in
it's
say,
like, I can't address every single thing.
Don't hear Vicky saying, oh, she and I together taught them how to love each other.
Right.
And it was just idyllic. It was so sweet here. No, it often seemed like they weren't getting what we were saying.
Right.
It was fight after fight after fight after. But the difference is we spoke into it and we addressed it each time.
As much as we could.
Instead of thinking, it is what it is. They all hate each other.
Right.
No.
Right. And I want to give you hope. You know, I think when you're in the midst of that, you just think, oh, they're all going to be axe murderers. They're going to kill each other, you know?
Yeah.
So don't be frustrated by that.
Don't lose heart.
Yeah, don't lose heart because, I mean, our kids all adore each other now. I think
they
we've talked about that
before. They are huge friends.
Right.
And so keep in mind, if you are in the early season of parenting, you are in the preface of a book. Mm-hmm. Each child is a book. And so it's too soon to lose heart and say, oh my word, this is, nope, there's going to be a chapter and then a chapter and a chapter, but you are planting seeds that are making a difference.
But it's hard work. I mean, it's very hard work.
And so hear this, just like we've made it clear to you, I hope, that having a marriage that would thrive is hard work, but it's worth it. Bringing family love into your home is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if you just want to sit in your chair and if you just want to look at Pinterest and you just want to have a hobby and you just want to go out with the girls and I want to play golf with the guys, it isn't going to happen.
No.
It takes work.
But these are
effort.
Crucial years. So you hear that.
These are
important years.
These are life-shaping. Because now we are so encouraged. None of them are perfect, but we look at each other now and we see life skills in them, people skills, relational skills, love that we recognize, oh my goodness, we worked so hard on that and we weren't sure if they were getting
it. Sticking. And I do think more is caught than taught. And I think I saw that from my parents and we've mentioned that earlier. you know, just my parents were not, we lived in, they call it the Deep South. We lived in South Georgia, and my parents were not racist. They were not prejudiced people. And I just learned that everyone's equal. And I mean, that was a great lesson. Just things like that, that you're going to learn in your home, or how do we treat someone that's, you know, has a leg missing? Like, what do we do with that? Like, do we show compassion? Do we make fun of them? Just those types of things are things you're learning in the home.
Yeah. So those years in the home as busy and, you know, you got sports, you got home repairs, you've got car problems, you might both be working a job, but don't lose heart. The time you are spending and the moments you're taking to stop and teach them through
even imperfectly,
something.
Even imperfectly.
Is huge in what you're going to see. God may give you eyes to see later in their lives. All right, we're going to take a break. We're talking about love. And we're talking about a love that the Bible brings us that is so much more deep and pervasive and life-changing than the love that our world so often talks about. That's just a feeling that comes and goes. And sadly, it's usually just all about a sexual, erotic desire feeling. The Bible has so much more to say because life is comprised of so many more ordinary moments. These other loves change ordinary moments in your home that, oh, cause your marriage to begin to thrive and your home to be alive in a way that perhaps it was not. We'll be back.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a second. Look, let me shift gears for just a second, because if you're the kind of person that listens to Thrive week after week, let me say this. You've got to be on Fortis Plus. You need to be on Fortis Plus, and not because I'm telling you to do it, but because it's where the rest of the conversation's happening, folks. Fortis Plus, it's free, absolutely free, and you're never going to run into a paywall. No, enter your payment info and start your trial. But oh, 7 days later, guess what? You're going to get a charge. No, nothing. Just open it. There it is. And it's full of hundreds of hours of audio and video content right now that we're adding to every single day. Stuff on marriage and parenting and theology and culture, you name it, it's all in there. You're going to hear from people like Brad Bigney and Libby Glosson and Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. John Kratz, names you've heard, and others. But on Fortis Plus, they're walking through stuff that matters. If you're dealing with loneliness in your marriage, if you're trying to figure out what it means to discipline your kids without crushing them, or you're wrestling with how to shepherd your family through the chaos outside your front door, it's all inside of Fortis Plus. These are the kind of resources you wish you had 10 years ago. So if you've been trying to navigate through all of this stuff alone, or you're just hoping your spouse suddenly gets it, go download Fortis Plus right now. You can find it wherever you get your apps on your smartphone or on your TV, because we're now on your smart TV, Roku, your Apple TV, Amazon Fire Stick, Google, Vizio, all the smart TV stuff. I don't know a lot about those things, but if you go to wherever you download streaming apps on your TV, just search Fortis Plus. You're going to find it. Or you can go to fortisplus.org. Again, it is totally free. And here's why it's free. Because there are gospel partners, men and women who give monthly so that thousands of people can access biblical truth without a paywall. If you're one of them, thank you so much. And if you're not one yet, that's okay. We can remedy that very easily. Got to make sure that you're faithfully giving to your local church first. However, that is your first priority. And if you are, and you've been helped by what we're doing at Fortis Institute, would you consider standing with us? We're not a flash in the pan project. We've been doing this for over 25 years, and Lord willing, we're not slowing down anytime soon, but we can't do it without people like you. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now, and you'll find answers to all of the questions you could ever possibly have about what it would look like to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Check it out right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, let's get back now to Pastor Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive.
Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, we're back, and we've been talking about storge, the Greek word that you find in the Bible and outside of the Bible in Greek culture for family love. And so we've been talking about what it would look like to try to cultivate this kind of love, because it's got to be intentional. Mm-hmm. Just like the way we've been talking about our marriage in so many shows, the same thing is true about the home as you relate to your kids. It's got to be something on your mind that you're leaning into. So other thoughts, Vicky, about what you had in mind certainly not perfectly, but what were we doing? Because we'd seen how huge it was when we did not love each other. And then when we did, mm-hmm. that we thought, this is important for the kids.
Right.
We want to cut their teeth on what is real love. And the home was designed by God to be a greenhouse right. that grows that and shows that.
Yeah,
you
like got
to grow it and show it. So we were trying to show it in the way we related to each other, but not just assume they'll pick up on it and do it.
Right.
Though I love that, as Vicky said in the first half, more is caught than taught. Mm-hmm. But it's great if you could also not just assume it's going to be caught, but you talk about it. Mm-hmm. You grow it. You explain it. What else were you doing?
And I'm sure just like with each of our listeners that have children, I mean, I know to this day my five kids' strengths and weaknesses, and they know mine. I know them all. I can tell you what child is going to be afraid to go down the big slide at the park and what child will go down head first laughing. I can tell you which child will say night night and just go to sleep, and what child's going to ask for water. I have to go pee pee and I'm hungry and would love some French toast. I know I can tell you what child will sin with a high hand. Everyone's going to see it. It's going to be obvious. And then which ones will sin in a more sneaky way. Mm. I mean, even today.
So we had a sneaky sinner.
Oh, we have all sorts
of
sinners.
You want to name the name? If you're out there listening, sneaky sinner adult now.
But those are the types of things you want to try to address. And I think even when we get together on a regular basis, I still find out things that some of my kids did that I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
So one of them, coming from Georgia, the South.
Especially to her, they'll say, oh, mom, if you only knew.
So growing up in the South, my mom would make pimento cheese. I have a great recipe. It's out of living.
Yes.
And so not all my kids like pimento cheese, but it didn't matter because that's what we were having. So like for lunch or whatever.
Yeah.
And Harrison said,
oh, he's probably in his mid-20s, right? When he admitted this in the social setting.
Yeah. He just said, oh, I would look up in the cabinet. I hated pimento cheese. I did not want to have to eat it for lunch. I would look up in the cabinet and find those little jars of pimentos and know what's coming. And I would literally open the back door, and we had this huge hill going down to the woods.
Big hill from our house down to the neighbor's home.
I would just step out on the porch, and I would just chunk that thing down the hill as far as I could into the woods.
And I'm sure our neighbor was constantly thinking, as he mowed, why do I keep running into little jars of pimentos?
Right, because we had a little old lady behind us. And she had her woods were all full of all these gardens and little beds and flower beds, and that's where he was chunking it. Down into her woods, Miss McCulloch's woods.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he was aiming towards the left, not directly behind us.
Right.
Oh, way over.
To hide them. Yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah. So, you know, even things like that, I'm finding out now, which you'll continue to find those things out. But
I'm sure.
Family is the place to address or at least attempt to address character issues like laziness or bullying or having courage.
And let me jump in and add to that. Likewise, Vicky spent far more time with the kids
because
I had
normal to
go to work. But here's what I chose to do. I wrote down specifically, similar to what she's saying, I had a page in my prayer journal for each child. I did not just throw up what I call softball prayers. God, just help the kids, grow the kids, teach the kids. I was writing down, like what Vicky was saying, what I saw were their individual struggles. Mm-hmm. Certain ones struggled in different ways. And I was praying specifically for different things for each child. I think that's important. That's one of the best things you could do for your child. If you're not praying specifically, who is? And so it's so fun to me now. I don't tear out old pages in the prayer journal. And so I'll have a morning where I hit one of those pages and there it is, where when Kelly was 9 or when Garrett was 10 or when so-and-so was 16, there's just a record of the things I was seeing that I could see they were struggling with, and I would be praying differently for each child to get help and to get traction in certain ways in life.
Yeah, and I just think, too, there is so much instruction, and kind of like in marriage, there's things, well, it's not really the same because in marriage, you shouldn't be telling your spouse what they should do. But as a parent, you have to say no to a lot of things. So we really did try to strive to have a family that we just had fun together. Like one thing we would do would say family love and just have a huge group hug.
Yeah.
And everyone, all 7 of us just come and just hug. And, you know, someone's in the middle saying, I can't breathe, but they loved it.
We
and
did it often.
Now, yeah,
we would just say family love.
Mm-hmm. And I remember, kind of sing things.
I remember something else that we would do, Vicky, that really is related to what we're bringing here is we were trying to train our kids, which means we were correcting them and we were addressing stuff. So often I see people today, young couples, and it's like they're not training or addressing anything. Just let them run. Mm-hmm. Just love them.
We call them feral children.
Yeah, I don't think that is what the Bible's called us to do. But here's what we recognize. Since we were correcting them and addressing things, they were hearing from us a lot in a way that you need to do this instead of that. You need it. And that wasn't right what you just said to your sister. That we would look at each other sometimes and say, you know what? We need to go on a love crusade. Mm-hmm. We just need to just lean hard into
this particular
now file. For the next couple of days. How can we love them? How could we express love? How could we show that love? How could we affirm them?
Right.
I even recognized at one point that I was so guilty. They didn't have me as much. Mm-hmm. You know, they had me when I got home from work. They had me a little in the morning. That God laid it on my heart. They're hearing too much correction and not enough affirmation. Mm-hmm. And so just to help me do this better, I took like 6 smooth stones. One of our kids, it might have been Garrett, it might have been Harrison, I don't remember who, had these pretty polished rocks in a jar. Mm-hmm. Full confession, if you're listening, I didn't ask permission, but I took 6 or 7 of those beautiful. And I would put them in my right pocket at the start of the day. Mm-hmm. And my goal was, by the end of the day, these need to be in my left pocket. And every time I engaged one of our children with affirmation and said, hey, thank you for that great job. I appreciate this about you. Mm-hmm. You did a good job on, I would move a rock from my right pocket to my left pocket. And it just helped me be aware.
Right.
I need to be loving them and expressing affirmation, not just
correction.
Correction.
Yeah, that's a great illustration. And I think too, just, you know, something that I see that we really try to do is, as parents, we need to promote a win for any family member is a win for the whole family. Just like, you know, that
teach
verse
them to
says,
celebrate with others.
Right. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. You know, we have to teach our kids not to have selfish rivalry or jealousy or bullying. We just didn't allow that. Like, so when someone got their personal best record at the track meet, then we celebrated that. That was something we all celebrated. You know,
what was one of your favorite ways to have these celebrations, Vicki?
Yeah, that's really funny.
They still talk about it. And guess what? We still do it.
Yeah, we do still do it. And our people that have married into our family find it quite odd. So I just came up with this one day that you just pull out a kitchen chair and the person has to stand in the chair. And we're like,
The person that's being honored and celebrated
stands in
a chair. Stands
in the chair. And everyone's like, okay, Sarah just got her personal best record at our track meet today, and we all cheer and say, Sarah. Mm-hmm. We did lots of chanting in our family. So so I remember the first time, one of my favorite pictures is when our youngest daughter, Sarah, had gotten married to Blake, and Blake got a promotion. So
at
one
work.
Sunday, yes, at work. So one Sunday, all the family was over. So I said, Blake, you need to stand in this chair. He just looks at me like, what? I was like, yes, you need to stand in this chair. And one of my favorite pictures is, he stood in the chair, and we're like, Blake got promoted at work. He has a new job. We're all like, Blake. And it's a picture of me. I'm standing in the apron with my hands clasped together, and I'm just laughing, looking at Blake. And I'm sure he just thinks, what in the world? Mm-hmm. What family did I just marry into? But, you know, we try to support. That has to be taught. Instead of sibling rivalry, we really tried to promote.
Yeah.
We're all a family. A win for an individual member in the family is a win for the family.
And I even think, that makes me think, Vicki, when someone had a birthday or something, it's great to give gifts, but we would do family affirmation candle. Mm-hmm. Family affirmation candle.
Family affirmation time.
Family affirmation. We'd usually have silly little songs that went with everything, but that person is going to be affirmed, and each person around the table holds the candle. You know, just anything. Kids like stuff. It's silly.
Yes.
Now the candle goes to you, and you tell us what you like about that other person. Mm-hmm. And that just kept it stirred up. When you're living at close range, 7 people in one home with 3 bedrooms, you can find plenty you don't like about somebody. But this kept it continually stirred up that part of life with other human beings at close range is learning to have eyes and to be forced to think, what do I like?
Right.
What do I appreciate?
Not just what annoys me about
them. What can I say
them?
That is good about them?
Mm-hmm.
So stand in a chair and be honored. Or have a night where the candle goes around the table and each person
And we usually try to do it at birthdays. So like if it was Brad's birthday, every single person in the family holds the candle and says something they appreciate about Brad.
And trust me, I haven't gotten tired of it.
Yeah. In fact, we had kind of gotten away from it. And just recently, our older kids who are now in their 20s and 30s said, hey, can we do that again?
So we now do it with even sons-in-laws when it's their birthday and it's new to them. But I haven't had any of them say, hey, could we not do that? That's just super awkward. We're talking about love. And when we say it, we're talking about things the Bible talks about that are deeper, wider, and on levels that the world doesn't seem to grasp matter. It could make a huge difference in your home, not just your marriage, but everyone living in that home, as you begin to embrace what is real love and what does it look like lived out in real time.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.